How many of you almost met the Lord on the way over here? It was such a dense, thick fog. And it's interesting, you know, that the scriptures record that the presence of God at time would be this thick smoke, a fog, if you will, that was tangible and you could feel it. And this fog would enter into the tabernacle, and it was a sign that God was ready to meet with his people. But here's the great news for you and I today, is that now that you and I, we are the tabernacle for that cloud. That thick fog you feel out there, that God's presence wants to reside on the inside of you. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning that it wasn't enough for you just to be near us, but you said you wanted to be in us. And so, God, we thank you for your very near and real presence. So we love you, we trust you, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And I'd like to echo those sentiments to everybody out in Periscope land. And we love you, we pray for you. And for the record, once again, I feel like it's a billion degrees in here. So Pastor Shino, if I pass out, just take my notes and keep going, brother, okay? But we're gonna get into the word real quick here. And this is my maiden voyage up on the stage, so I'm kind of enjoying this. So we'll see. Hopefully I don't blow a wheel or anything like that. But I want to, first of all, welcome our first-time guests. If this is your first time with us at Every Nation New Jersey, if you could just raise your hand, our ushers, we have a gift bag for you. Anyone in here? Great. God bless you. So great to see you and to have you. We got a special, and then a welcome back from our good friend Judith, who's back up from Florida. God drew her back up here to New Jersey, so it's so great to have you, Judith, with us. And then Katama, do we have youth service? Where's Katama? Yeah, we do. So if we could just dismiss our youth, if you're a middle school or high school student, you can go just right off the hospitality area. You could go and be with our youth group. You might find it more fun than it is in here. All right. And so I want to get into the word this morning. I'm really excited about kind of where we're going and where we're headed. But before we do that, I need to talk to you about Nick and Brandy aren't here this morning, so I think they might be backslidden. So Ernie and Larry, you can let them know that. Okay, Sherry. So, I did Nick and Brandy's wedding this past summer. And so we did it, and I can remember, I don't know if you guys recall this, but I was supposed to do the rehearsal dinner. And I'm driving over, and listen, I don't know what, I'm to the point where I can't get anywhere without GPS now. And so I'm like, boop, 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 punch that thing in, and kind of I get there until it takes me, and I pull into a scrap metal yard. And I get there, and I kind of sit for a moment, and as God is my witness, my first reaction was, crazy millennials, right? Who would have a rehearsal dinner at a scrap metal yard? And then as I sit there for a little while, I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong place. And so I had to call them, panicked, and I made it to the rehearsal dinner, and so we did that thing. And so all that to say, I was eventually gonna get there, but there was a few detours, and it took a little bit longer than I thought it was gonna do. And so I was headed towards a destination, but like I said, there was a few detours, it took a little bit longer. And for the record, there's unbelievably great people of destiny and purpose that have done amazing things. But I don't know if you realize, if you really look at their story, it was going to take a while, and there's going to be a lot of detours along the way. And I'm not even just, I'll just get outside of the Bible and just talk to you about Walt Disney. You guys know that Walt Disney, that he was fired from the Kansas City Star, a publication, because he was uncreative and not imaginative enough. Right? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, that guy, he's in the grave, and he's still inventing new imaginative ways to have me drop a grand for my kids, you know, down at Disney World, okay? And so that's just the truth. And so ridiculous, unimaginative. Thomas Edison, right? We know the inventor of the light bulb and numerous other inventions. How about this, that when he was a child, as a kid, his teacher told him he's too stupid to learn anything. Well, first of all, can we agree school's changed, right? Like, how many grew up in that time when your teachers, if you did something wrong, they could spank you, right? Anyone else? Thank you. That's right. No timeout or anything like that. Like, they had weapons and they would spank you with that time. And so it was different. So there's another one too, Albert Einstein. Can we agree he's a pretty smart guy? That Einstein, created the, or actually found out the theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. I still have no idea what that means, right? But Nobel Peace Prize winning scientist. And so they actually, when he died, they hijacked and snuck his brain out because they wanted to study it. All right. So, I mean, it's creepy, but kind of cool too, right? And so so that's what took place. But Einstein, do you know, as a young boy, like, he was a slow starter, that he didn't speak to the age of four. Like, here we got the guy who invented the theory of relativity, and his parents are like, come on, Albert, use your words, all right, until he didn't learn to read till seventh grade. And so I can get it out of kind of the historical thing. I'll bring it up for the younger gen here today, Taylor Swift, which, for the record, is my daughter Cassie's Starbucks name. There. So Taylor, your mocha's ready, right? And so so Taylor Swift, as a young 11-year-old, she sent her CDs and stuff to various agencies and was refused time and time again because she was ordinary. Okay? And so could we agree that, I mean, there are some people that made some epic impacts, you know, with their life, and yet they started off a little bit slow. Now I'll bring it back into the Bible. And there's people, unbelievable heroes in our faith, that it started pretty slow. That you get a David. You remember David? So David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel at the age of either 13 to 15 years old. He dumped oil on his head and anointed him the next king of Israel. However, like, did you know, like, his dad, Jesse, David's dad, Jesse, thought he was so insignificant that he didn't even remember that he had his son, right? So when your old man forgets about you, can we agree you're insignificant, little, yet this guy would grow up and be the greatest king Israel has ever known? That there was another guy, you may have heard of him, Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul. Do you remember this guy? And so Saul, I don't know if you know, remember his conversion experience. He's on the road to Damascus. He's actually hunting Christians when Jesus appears to him, blows him up off his horse, and says, by the way, Saul, you're going to follow me the rest of the days of your life, and I'm going to put you before kings, and you're going to preach my name to the Gentiles. And I just wonder how that conversation went. That Saul's got to be thinking to himself, listen, I know you're God and all, but are you sure you got the right Saul? I'm Saul of Tarsus. You sure you didn't mean Saul of Ephesus? You know, I would imagine there's a little bit of that going on. In fact, the guy that the Lord appeared to and wanted him to pray for Saul, that his name is Ananias, and even Ananias is like, are you sure? And so this is the slow start, yet Paul would turn out to be the greatest missionary our faith's ever known. And so I say all this to say that I believe that you have been called to an unbelievable destiny. And I hope for some of you are like, please, Pastor, move on. I hope by the time I'm finished, you feel that, a sense of that in your life. And so, but the reality is, if you're going to fulfill God's destiny for your life, it's going to take a little bit of time. There might be some detours along the way, and it's going to take growth. I see we have a few guests in here. And if you don't know this, as a member of Every Nation New Jersey, I want to pound it in you. That the vision that God's given for us for here at Every Nation New Jersey is this, that he's called us as a church to transform the world one life at a time. Because the reality is God, he changes people, and then people go and they change places. And so we believe that wherever God's placed you, you're going to be an agent of change for the kingdom of God. And so, but to do that, it's going to take, we got to grow. Agreed? And so there is this guy, John the Baptist, another guy who started slow. But it says this of John in Luke chapter 1, verse 80. You can look at it later. That it says John the Baptist, that he grew strong in spirit. And that word for grow is the word hyperoxano. And what that means is this, to grow to the maximum capacity. And that's what I want to see happen for all of us, that we would max out the capacity of all God's called us to do and all he's called us to be. And so in order to help that take place, this is kind of like a infomercial for the month of February. that we're going to be launching our four classes that are our growth track, because we want to see you grow to maturity and to walk in God's destiny for your life. Those four classes are going to occur the first four Sundays of every month. So the first step will be our Know God class. Okay, after that, it's going to be our Grow Together class. After that, it's going to be and we're going to talk about this today, our Discover Purpose. Like, God has a purpose for your life. And then lastly is our Make a Difference class, all right? So we're going to do that on even months, and this will make more sense later on. But look for the month of February. We're going to do the classes immediately after our Sunday worship service, okay? And so that's where we're going. Now, after that long introduction, now I want to get into my message, all right? We're in a series called Operation Transformation. Do we have that slide? And I need to recap kind of where we've been, because we had a guest speaker. How many enjoyed Pastor Tim Johnson last week? Was he the bomb? Yeah. Yeah, he's the bomb. I know. We began week one, and we talked about this, the idea of knowing God. If you're going to, your life is going to be changed and you're going to impact others, you have to have a relationship with God. You need to know Him. And so in order for you to me to like communicate that to you this morning, so before you know what it means to know God, you have to know about Tim Tebow, okay? Do we remember him? I think we have a slide of it. Do you remember Tim Tebow? And so back in March of 2012, I can recall we were actually driving to D.C. for a pastor's meeting. And as we were, my phone started blowing up with all these text messages. So for those of us that are guests, we're actually Pastor Shino and I are the chaplains for the New York Jets. And my mother had this ongoing secret mission that she was on, she believed, from the Lord. And that was this, is that Tim Tebow was going to marry my daughter, Cassie. Okay? And so she's constantly, he's going to do it. I'm praying that Jesus is going to just move his heart. And then suddenly he was playing in Denver, and he got traded to the New York Jets. So my phone was blowing up with all these text messages, and I immediately called my mom, and I'm like, Mother, what have you done, right? And so Tebow comes to the team, and it was kind of cool because he was uber celebrity, and let me tell you, this kid ferociously loves Jesus Christ. And so, like, we met with him, and I was always, like, a little bit nervous around him, kind of dorky, you know, and I remember, I still have his phone number, like, in my cell phone, so if you want to see, Tim Tebow is kind of in there. For the record, I've been texting him for the better part of 5 years, and I've yet to get a reply. I think he duped me with a fake one. But Tim, if you're periscoping, that's wrong, brother. So here's the funny thing. So I always like to every now and then name drop, yeah, me and Tim Tebow, you know, yeah, Tim Tebow, you know, like kind of doing that thing. And here's the reality. I don't know if Tim Tebow could pick me out of a lineup, okay? And here's what else I know. I know him. I met him one time, once or twice. And outside of that, that's the extent of it. And the reality is that's how many of us, that's our relationship with God. Hey, we had this moment at one time. I know how to reach him somewhere, but I never get any response, that type of thing. And that's many of our walk with Jesus Christ. And so God wants to have a deep, deep relationship with you. He wants you to know him as he knows you. And so we like to help you do that here at Every Nation New Jersey. And so we talked about that week one. Week two is this. We talked about, Pastor Tim was talking about what it means to grow together. And this is unbelievably important. I was sharing with some of our gut men at our Connect group. We're going through the Gospel of Mark and how important it is that we do life with one another. And so the Bible has a ton of different metaphors for how the Bible or the church is to work and how it functions. And so one of them is this, that the church is referred to as a family. And so if you look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says that we're all members of God's household. And so so oftentimes here what will happen is I'm going to see Sherry, and I'm going to go, hey, sister, how you doing? And it's you know what it is, Sherry? It's not just because I couldn't remember your name, but it's also because we believe it, that this is a family. I actually prefer the word a spiritual family over a church. And so that's just it. And so we're called a church. It says this, that the church is like a building. And so you can find that in 1 Corinthians 3:9. It says that you people, individuals, that we make up the building of God. And so that when Jimmy was the kind of general contractor, as we were putting this building together, and we had to pass code upon code, people would come in and inspect the work was done, because if something's out of line, it's not safe. And the reality is, when we're not playing our parts as part of the building of God, suddenly the structure becomes unsafe for us to grow. And so I like that. It also says this, that we're like an army. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it talks about this, that we're called, he refers to us, is we're to walk as good soldiers of God. And so, do you guys know that the United States Army, do you remember their motto? It was this, be all you can be. And I kind of like that, because the reality is, for you to be all you've been called to be, you have to belong to a church. Not just go to church, make an appearance every now and then, but to belong and to plug in. You will never tap into God's calling and destiny of your life by yourself. And you know what's crazy? They recently changed the Army's motto. And do you know what it is? An army of one. And you know what was so funny is they realized that's absurd. Like, I know Jason Bourne can go kill 8 million guys by himself, but the reality is, if you're an army of one, you're going to get worked and you're probably going to die. And that's the reality for you and I. You try to be the Lone Ranger Christian, it's not going to go good for you. So they actually switched the motto, and it's this now, Army Strong. Why? Because we're better together as a people. And so it also says this, that the church is like a body. Let me go to, if you guys have your Bible, go to Romans 12, verses 4 to 6. It should be up on the screen. And it says this, verse 4, that just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And so that you and I, that God says the church is like a body. We have unique and distinct gifts, skills, and talents that when we put it together, the body works. I don't know if you realize this, but I don't sneeze with my hand. I don't cough with my foot, right? Because there's certain things that are designed to do that. And so together we need you to be you, so we can be us, all right? Don't make me repeat that, because I won't be able to. I want to throw in my own metaphor this morning, that I think the church is like a team. I was, you know, an athlete and played in the National Hockey League. And so the hockey is kind of a unique deal, because you get people from literally different nations. And so there's a teammate of mine, Mikael Anderson. He was a Swede. Any Swedes in the house here today? Coach Judith, hallelujah. All right. So we had Mikael Anderson, and I still remember to this day, Mikael, in his broken English, he calls me and he says, Adam, do you know where I could get a Vafayan? I'm like, I'm sorry, a Vafayan. I don't know. Just come again? A waffle iron. You make waffles. I'm like, oh, you want a waffle iron? We have one. You can use ours, you know, and that. And so Mikael, I remember too, it was before we're getting out for a big game against our epic rivals, and we're sitting there and everyone's kind of nervous and quiet. And Mikael was usually a reserved guy, and finally, but he just says this. He says, come on, guys, it's the calm before the weather. Right. Bro, I think you mean the storm, right? And so as ridiculous as he was, man, that brother was fast. That kid could skate like nobody's business. And so despite our differences, we had a common thing that we were going after. And we needed his gift of speed. There was another guy. There was a French-Canadian on our team, Mario Goose Goslin. He was the goaltender. So he's French-Canadian. So he just butchered the English language. And so Goose, he was funny. There's one moment. We call the power play. We call it the PP. And so we're like, Goose, are you ready for the pee-pee? Pee-pee? No, I okay. I went already, right? And so that's Goose. Goose Goslin, but that brother, as much as he butchered the English language, man, that guy had cat-like reflexes and could save the puck, and we desperately needed him. Another guy, Bobby Holik, you might have known him. He played here for the New Jersey Devils. I had him on my team as an 18-year-old rookie, spoke no English, and he's from Czechoslovakia. He came in, so he learned the English language in a locker room. I do not recommend that. And so so I can remember he's using the F-bomb in places where I'm like, bro, you're using it as a noun and it's an adjective, so don't do that. And so we would have that thing, but this guy was a man-child, because this guy, once he got the puck, you couldn't take it from him. And so this is, and so I labor to show you, we celebrated our differences and we united over a common cause. And when we worked together and celebrated one another, what happened? We would win. And so that's what the body of Christ has been designed to do. So we need to grow together. And then lastly this morning, and here's now that it's taken me a 30-minute intro, is we're going to talk about discovering your purpose. Because God has a purpose for your life. Do you guys know, like, if you look in the definition of purpose, it says this. It says the reason someone exists. And this is the question that haunts humanity. Is we're searching for meaning. Why am I here? Why do I exist? And this isn't just a religious question. It's a humanity question. In fact, did you guys know, like we write books about purpose, don't we? Like the best-selling hardcover book ever is the book A Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. That it's been translated into more languages than any other book other than the Bible. Because people are searching for purpose and for meaning. That that we write music about meaning and purpose because the human soul, the music is kind of the expression of the soul. And so I don't know how many of you are out there listening to Justin Bieber, but the name of his latest album is Purpose. Kim knew that. All right. Well, we'll talk about that later, Kim. All right. And so there's a film. Now, I don't know if you guys realize, but there's a, now that we're worried about a dog's purpose. For the record, when that comes out, I will not go see that film. We all know how it's going to end, all right? So be careful. So all this to say this, notice too, I just had to put this in my notes, that there's no movie about a cat's purpose, right? Because no one knows and no one really cares, all right? So, and you know it's true. If you're a guest here, I'm sorry. But I do want to talk, maybe I'm not so concerned about a dog's purpose or a cat's purpose this morning, but I am concerned about your purpose. And so Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which should be up on your screen, it says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so, this is your purpose. That you and I were created to reflect the image of God in the earth. And it's this beautiful story of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 where we understand, we walk with God, we're able to reflect God's image to one another and back to God himself. And God actually invites humanity into be able to create and to produce things in the Garden of Eden, that we would be like a God whose image we bear. And it all goes real good until Genesis chapter 3. And Adam and Eve rebel against God, and suddenly sin is introduced into our lives and into the universe. And through that, now our ability to reflect God's image is messed up. It's like a fog out there, this dense fog that we can't see in order to reflect God well. We're just kind of groping through things until a carpenter's son from Nazareth comes in on the scene, and he lives the perfect life. He goes to the cross for you and I, and then when he's raised from the dead, it says he breathes on his disciples the breath of life. That suddenly, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we should have that one up on the screen, is this, on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus says this, is that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you're going to be my witnesses, or you're going to be able to reflect my image where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, throughout the very ends of the earth. See, we get our purpose back through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through his Holy Spirit, that we can bear his image well in the earth. And so now here's what I don't want to do. I don't want you to leave and go, yay, we're to be image bearers, and have no idea what that means, right? It's kind of like this ambiguous. I want you to be clear, crystal clear, on how you being an image bearer works out in your everyday life. And so we have classes. You're going to want to go to our Discover Purpose class in February, because we want that. We don't want you to be fuzzy on it. We want you to know what God's created you to do. The Apostle Paul is going to help us with this, though. In Ephesians 2:10, that should also be up on our screen. It says this. Paul says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so I want to unpack a few things from that. So one, Paul calls you and calls me his workmanship. It's the word poema in the Greek. You can hear the word for poetry. We're his masterpiece. We're his work of art in creation. And so and I know some of you in this morning are like, of course I am, right? And others of you are like, what, me? Yes, you. You've been created. You're God's workmanship. One other scripture I want us to look at, I won't put it up on the screen, but Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16 is going to say this, is that you've been intricately wired, created, formed, and fashioned in your mother's womb, that God was involved in the very details. And he distinguishes two parts. He says, your inmost being, or your spiritual matter, your personality, the thing that makes you uniquely you, and as well, he makes your frame or your physical attributes and parts. And so I want to just even examine that, because he's going to say that you've been created uniquely wired on the inside and out for God's glory and to walk into God's story. And so let's look at some of this. So God was in the details of your personality, your personhood. And so being a parent, you'll kind of amen me on this, because there's certain things, like with your baby. So I have two daughters, and to this day, I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're both ours, because they couldn't be more diametrically, like, just different than one another. And I'm like, they came from the same womb. I was in the room. And so I'm sure they are. But like, I mean, I take Cass, and I hope she doesn't get mad at me, because we're going to watch the football game this afternoon. Cassie's very black and white, all right? And so things are kind of that way. Elizabeth, my younger one, everything's gray, right? No such thing as rules, and we'll just kind of do that thing. And then Cassie is much, so close your ears, baby. So she's 90% sweet, but she's got 10% snap, all right? And so you just want to not be in the house during those days. My younger one, unbelievably sensitive. So you have to tread lightly around her, because you can damage her soul really easily, right? And so all these different things. Cassie's very stubborn. I have no idea where she gets that from. And so is the other one. So that's something they're alike on. But let's even look at, I look at our staff, like the team here that God's put together. Like I got Pastor Shino and Pastor Dottie, like the way God wired them, they are unbelievably sweet, nice, like to the point where I'm like, I am the jerk on the staff. It's that way. I mean, that's just their personality, and God made them that way. I'm in this room and I see the unique personalities in here. I see Marge over here on our staff, very, very driven, and she does everything with excellence. I see Susan. I'd never heard of Bible art before. Right? And next thing you know, I hear there's this man, she's got a connect group where they do art and their soul comes alive, you know? So I see a compassion on Laurie, where it's this, we need to help them. We need to help them. We need to help them too. And so all this, the things that make uniquely you, we, as they come together, God did that. And so you need to embrace the way God made you. I'm going to read a quote for you from C.S. Lewis, because it's been a while and I need to do that on a regular basis. So here's what C.S. Lewis writes. He says, "Why else were individuals created, but that God, loving all infinitely, should love each differently? If all experienced God in the same way and returned to him an identical worship, the song of the church triumphant would have no symphony. It would be like an orchestra in which all the instruments played the same note." Did you get that? Like we need you to embrace how God made you. And we need you to be fully you. We don't need you to be someone else. You don't need to be like Pastor Don. I don't need to be like Pastor Shino. But we need to embrace how God made us, that it's a symphony that God enjoys to hear the different notes and the different songs. This has nothing to do with my message. I thought about this on the way over. So I'm not sure how many guys watch SNL. Don't. All right, it's sinful. But if you ever have watched it, it's not sinful. But here's what I need you to know. Did you guys ever see the episode where Will Ferrell, they had Christopher Walken on, and they were doing a spoof on the band Blue Oyster Cult? And it was the cowbell scene. Do you guys remember this? Some of us. And Christopher Walken is the music producer. And he's like, there's just a random cowbell in the song. Do, 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 do. And they're like, we need to hear more of that cowbell, boy. And so then Will Ferrell starts beating the cowbell more. And so you might think, hey, I have the most insignificant man. My life doesn't matter. Listen, God is like, I need more cowbell. All right. He wants to hear more of you in the kingdom of God. And it's not just your personality, but it's also your physical features. Like, here's the reality, is like, some of you, you're just born physically striking, right? And again, some of you are like, of course I am, right? But some of it, it's just true. And here's the reality, is what that's going to do is that's going to open doors for you, and it's going to put you in places that God's designed for you to be there. That there's some of us, you're just freaky athletic. Like, I'll embarrass Ryan. The dude is just freak show strong. Like Bam Bam strong, and so that was opening doors for him that he could be salt and light, and now it's being passed down to his son Brody, and now Alyssa's here. So I got Tiffany. Tiffany, you're in my notes. You both got the physically striking and athletic part going for you, and so that's going on. But here's there's also people that are just stupid smart, like you're freaky intelligent. And that's God's doing, because he's putting you in certain positions to use the gift of your mind. I got Jamal's in here. I mean, I was going to call you out in New York, but I'll call you here, man. Jamal's got his PhD in education. And so what he's doing is pointing that towards the kingdom of God. He's got an inner city mentorship program in Newark, and he's trying to figure out ways that he can get education into those that need it the most in our inner cities. And so that is what it means, using the gifts, skills, and talents God's given us that we might be the glory of God. There's a book, Wild at Heart. There's a guy by the name of Eldridge, Jim, I think it's Jim Eldridge, John Eldridge. The book, I don't agree with it, line up totally theologically, but I think it's a great book. And here's the deal. He says this, that your desire reveals your design, which reveals your destiny. And so these desires and the way God's wired you, I think it's important that you understand how God made you and then how you can point the gifts, skills, and talents he's given you to glorify his name in the earth. Ephesians 2:10, it also says that you've been given, God has good works for you to walk in, that he has a purpose for your life. I'm going to reference one other scripture, and then we're gonna start landing the plane here. Kim, do you mind coming up? I would like you to just play for a little bit. Acts 17, verses 26 and 27. You can look it up later. But here's what it says. It says that God determines where you live, when you live, and what you do, that people might somehow meet Jesus through your life. That you're an agent of glory where he's placed you. There's a guy, Aiden Wilson Tozer, A.W. Tozer. And here's what he said. He said, it's not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular, but it's why he does it. It's the, like, so your job, so God just says in Acts 17, he determined what you were doing, why you were doing it, because some of you hate your job, right? You're like, why am I gotta be doing this? And if you can get this through your head and into your heart, that through God's sovereignty, he's got this unbelievable purpose and mission for your life. And he wants the world to know him through you. And so now that should redeem a lot of the stuff that historically has frustrated us. So I wrote down in my notes this, that, man, if you can remember this, that God's placed me here, where I'm at, that it should destroy meaninglessness and insignificance. Because so what's happening is, like, so you're like, Pastor, I work in a cubicle. Or, Pastor, I'm a barista at Starbucks. What could that do? oh my gosh, you don't get it. See, God's placed you there, that there's people. Do you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says this, it says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now suddenly, man, making that drink at Starbucks has eternal significance because you're doing it as unto the Lord and you're ministering to people around you. It should also, this lens should eliminate frustration. Because I don't know if you realize this, that we quote this one a lot. Romans 8:28, you could probably quote it with me. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. We always end there. It says to those that are called according to his purpose. See, suddenly, now when things that would frustrate you at your job or in your home, what you need to understand is God somehow is going to work that out for good and for glory because I'm about his purposes. Did you ever wonder why the Apostle Paul, who in his life, it must have been, if anyone needed to be frustrated, it was Paul. Here's the guy, hey, I'm just going to preach the gospel wherever I go, winds up shipwrecked. Does he get like, oh, God? No. He just winds up getting everybody on the ship born again, and then the island they land on, getting them all born again. That Paul's in prison is like, oh, God, way to go. What? He doesn't do that. He says, no, I'm just going to get the prisoners and the jailers born again, and we're going to start a church here. And so he's in jail at another time. What does he do? He doesn't get the guys saved, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And so all these areas, we know that now things take on meaning. And when those moments when you want to get frustrated, understand that they're working for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. And here's the last point, and then I'm going to be on my way, is this. Is that your life that's built on the purposes of God, it becomes indestructible. And here's what I mean by that. And so your career is really, the purpose is you. But when you have a calling, the purpose is God. Now you can have a career within your calling. And I think that's so unbelievably important. But see, if you're just chasing your career, the purpose about me, myself, and I, here's what happens. Your life is unbelievably fragile. But if you can pull it back and see the eternal purposes of man, I'm going to walk in this career, but under my calling, now you become unshakable. I'll give you an example. So I can remember we're playing against the New York Islanders back in Nassau Coliseum. I'm playing, wound up playing 8 minutes and 93 seconds of the first period, and someone would hit me, and suddenly I'd blow a disc. I would never play hockey again after that. And here's what's amazing. Like, if I don't know my purpose, do you know what? My world is shattered in an instant. But see, what happens was I was a hockey player fulfilling God's purposes in the earth. And now I'm a pastor fulfilling God's purposes in the earth. When I go home this afternoon, I'm going to be a daddy fulfilling God's purposes in the earth and cheering against the Patriots. All right? And so let me pray for us. Father, I just pray over us as a people. God, you know my heart. You know our heart as a staff, God. And we just we pray this morning. I pray that we'd be a people of purpose, God. Lord, I pray that you would use us to absolutely turn the world upside down. Father, I pray for those that feel small and insignificant. Father, I pray that you would breathe into them. You begin to give them new, fresh eyes to see, God, your purpose, your anointing upon their life. Lord, I thank you that you're going to do that, that through Every Nation New Jersey, you're going to transform the world one life at a time. In Jesus' name, amen.